I guess we can start. I'm really appreciating how much we're all showing up for this retreat. I mean, it's really, you know, inspiring just that we all care enough to keep showing up. And I know someone said, but I can't remember who said it, but I would imagine most of us have had that thought when we're doing an online retreat and, you know, things are really going bad and we just can't handle it. We go, I can just quit. No one will know, you know, no one will know what I'm doing. But then we keep on doing it. We keep on showing up. This is really, you know, the heart of our determination, the heart of our practice. So when we, the first morning when we opened up and people just said a few words about some of your intentions. And if I remember correctly, a few people mentioned wanting to further explore identification, sense of self, personality view. And of course, that's one of my favorite topics. So I want to talk just some different hints, hopefully, of how this steady, receptive awareness is so powerful, really helps us in understanding better this whole sense of personality view and how we get caught and stuff. And I can really get wonky about this, and I'm trying not to, and to just give some hints and some ideas. So take what's useful and leave the rest. But all forms of practice help us see this, see the anatta, the fact that there is no unique, steady state, separate self. You know that. So I want to talk in terms of what we're doing here in a way. So refuge in awareness, we've spoken about in different ways, sort of how Andrea was speaking about, I don't know, this morning, yesterday, it all blends, right? Who said what and when, it doesn't really matter. But talking about how the sense of this refuge, that's my language, refuge in awareness, rather than our tendency to let attention all go to the object, whatever the object or the experience is. My way of phrasing it right now is, as we're practicing, we're just practicing each moment of just taking refuge, completely relaxing into receptive awareness of whatever's arising, the willingness in this moment, just be present with whatever's arising, rather than in that moment, when that's possible, in that moment, the thinking mind, the thoughts, the views, then we're not defining ourselves by the relationship to object or experience in that moment. But noticing how much of the time without awareness, our habit is so much to define ourselves by whatever experience is arising or the reaction that comes up to experience. You know, we take it personally, right? We can relate to this. If I've lost you already, we're all in trouble here. Yeah, so, and that's partly why this trusting and receptive awareness is both so simple, but also so difficult, because it's counter to the habits that we've been cultivating, not we, but the mind, the habits have been cultivated most of our life, and that seem to, unfortunately sometimes, give meaning to our life. You know, the sense of just aware of whatever's happening, come on, you know, who am I, what's happening, what's important, you know, we want to like something to glom onto. So this refuge in awareness is a different way of receiving experience, of perceiving. And as we keep exploring it, I think we'll find we go through phases, but really in a moment of total being with receptive awareness, rather than identifying or making a me out of whatever's occurring, that's not a rejection of experience. I think it kind of came up in response to something. At times we can kind of move into awareness and try and use it as a way to get away from something unpleasant. I mean, our habits of mind will try that with anything. Of course, it'll try it with awareness. That's just what the habit of mind, to let me get out of here, does. But real receptive awareness in that moment is not a rejection any more than it's an acceptance. It's just a being with as it is without needing to make something of it or undo it. But what it does allow for, the steadiness, which, you know, we've been honking on that, the steadiness of the receptive awareness is what allows for clear, accurate recognition of what's occurring, what we might want to call experience objects, either way, of what's happening. Correct, accurate recognition. You might say, why is that important? It's everything. The Dalai Lama, a lot of people say, but I've been listening to the Dalai Lama frequently, you know, in the mornings because we're all home, and he has lots of talks up on his website, nice website, and I'm not going to go into, but he says a lot, like all of us, a similar thing over and over, no matter who he's talking to. But this is one of the ways he said it, that all of our difficulties stem from mistaken perception. And I've heard Thich Nhat Hanh say the same thing. And the difficulties, what is he talking about as difficulties? I mean, nothing new, right? The destructive emotions, greed, hatred, confusion, of course, we understand that those really give rise to suffering and torment. But in another level of the difficulty of the kilesas of the destructive emotions, they don't only lead to destructive emotions, which we get caught in it, but it's not really difficult to perceive that anger and greed, when they're active in our heart and mind and lead us to actions, it's not so beyond the pale that we can perceive that that's torment, right? That's difficult, it's not. But the other level where it really plays in, when any of these torments of mind, greed, hatred, delusion, when they're present in the consciousness, you know, kind of coloring the consciousness unrecognized, it's what the Dalai Lama calls it, I like this phrase, cognitive obscuration. And that is really at the root of inaccurate perception. Cognitive obscuration. Without recognizing in a moment that this moment of mind, as Andrea talked about, the five aggregates last night, but this moment of consciousness is influenced by all the sankharas that happen to be there. And when unrecognized, and delusion being a sankhara, delusion is of course hard to recognize by definition, right? But when they're there and unrecognized, it has the effect of obscuring accurate perception. And this is at the heart of strengthening our belief and acting of a sense of me and mine and separate self. It's just like, that's just how it is, unquestioned. So, Dalai Lama. Ignorance is at the root of the 84,000 destructive emotions and at the root of the cognitive obscuration. Seeing the dependent origination, seeing the that all experience is arising due to conditions, nothing can be separated out. So seeing that as dependent origination, you could call it. That's what allows us to perceive accurately. The ignorance all stems from the misperception of reality, that we see things as they do not actually exist, right? He says what we see things as having an independent self-existence. Even though in our minds, we may all know this. I know that, and we can say, yes, everything's interconnected, everything's arising due, and we can go back to pick this moment and go all the way back to the Big Bang, right? You can't really separate anything out. You know, where do you stop? I like doing that, but it's an intellectual exercise most of the time. Don't spend the rest of this time getting on a thought train of everything you can actually go back to the Big Bang. Unless you're really bored with what I'm saying, then go ahead and do it. It'll be useful. But because it's intellectual, but the perception that is obscured by ignorance, we still see things as separate, like this little mala. That's a separate thing, right? I don't see it as all the things that are connected to it. And that's okay. That's still intellectual. But just to give a sense of how that happens. So he's talking about the emptiness of self-existence doesn't mean things don't exist. Anatta, the emptiness of unique self-existent self doesn't mean that we in common parlance don't exist. It doesn't mean if with steady awareness somehow we really have an insight into anatta, our nama rupa, our five aggregates blow apart and there's nothing there and you'll forget who you are, you know. No, nothing changes except the perception, which recognizes accurately for a moment instead of misperceiving and then creating all these worlds based on the misperception. The Dalai Lama, emptiness doesn't mean things do not exist, but they exist through dependence on each other, not in the independent way we perceive. And delusion can influence the perception, so we don't recognize that. So the central, I mean, there's many misperceptions, right? Just an example of just of kalesa or anger in the mind Andrea gave yesterday or this morning of, say you're feeling badly about yourself and you perceive someone's face and you think, oh, they're angry at me, right? Remember she gave that example? And so that's the perception, they're angry at me. And then that leads to thinking about it and how you feel about it and what you think about them and the whole world, right? But you don't have a clue if they're angry at you. Just that simple level of misperception. You can see how it leads into a whole world of confusion, right? So that's on the one level. But you could say in terms of how the Buddha is teaching, on the basic levels of misperception, of course, are not having the perception of impermanence, not having the perception of the unsatisfactoriness, the dukkha of experience, looking to experience to do it for us. And then that's the third one, that there's an us it's gonna do it for, not recognizing the anatta, the sense that there's not some unique lasting self. These misperceptions are kind of like at the heart of our confusion, at the heart of our suffering. So I just want to kind of hone in on the misperception of self and sakkaya ditti, as it's often talked about. Sakkaya ditti is a self-view, personality view. And just some ways in the steady awareness can have such power to start to shift our unconscious assumptions. Okay. Ajahn Sumedho talks about sakkaya ditti a lot. We all talk about it a lot. But I like that I've listened to talks where he talks about it and says, you know, sometimes people will say, well, you shouldn't talk about anatta and this stuff till people have been practicing for a long time because it's too subtle. It's too esoteric, you know, it gets people confused. And this is like even in a beginner's retreat, and you guys aren't beginners, but even so, he says, and it's true, we talk about anatta the first time we do it on a retreat with a lot of people who haven't sat before. We know for sure the next morning, if it's a big retreat with there's questions, it'll be, if there's no me, and then whatever, you know, we know that's going to happen, of course. But anyway, Ajahn Sumedho says, why should I wait and practice for 20 years with misunderstanding, with misperception? That's crazy. Start looking at how really things are from the beginning, you know? So getting to the root. So I read these two quotations from Thanissaro Bhikkhu and from Sumedho that I love in terms of just what I'm hoping to just give some nudges to is that this sense of self isn't something we can't, well, it doesn't exist, so it shouldn't arise. And when it arises, and we've been thinking about anatta, isn't it often like a kind of knee-jerk reaction in the way, oh, this shouldn't be here, sense of self. Well, that's not right. And we try and see otherwise. And that's actually just an idea. The sense of self arises frequently as an experience, doesn't it? I'm not pretending it doesn't arise. But the problem is without steady awareness, we tend not to investigate it. It's, oh, there's sense of self, and it's assumed to be a thing. So when you notice sense of self, meaning, whatever, something just a little nudge, it might be a thought, it might come up in different ways. Receptive awareness simply notices that's simply the next arising experience. It's not some big problem. The problem is, and this is the misperception, we just assume it's a steady thing that's here because we're deluded and we're doing it wrong and we got to go somewhere else and fix it. Instead of just, your sense of self is like this, watch it come, watch it go. What is it actually? How does it feel? It's different every time. There's not one sense of self that we got to get rid of. It's simply an arising conglomerate of how the five aggregates are arising in this moment. And then it's gone. And then there's another. So this is from Tanisaru Bhikkhu. Samsara literally means wandering on. Many people think of it as the Buddhist name for the place where we currently live. We're living in samsara, the place we leave when we go to nibbana, right? Get out of samsara and go to nibbana. But, and remember, he's a real scholar of the Pali language, but in early Buddhist texts, samsara is not the answer to where are we, it's the answer to what are we doing. Samsara is not a place, it's a process. The tendency of the mind stream to keep creating worlds and then moving into them. As one world falls apart, the mind creates another one and you go there. At the same time, you bump into other people who are all creating their own worlds too. You get a sense of that? So the Buddha looked for and found a way to stop samsara-ing. And that we samsara-ing because of delusion, creating the worlds. Example that I just gave from that Andrea did, the world of that person is angry at me. It's a whole world. It's not just the bad feelings I have, whatever they are. It's a sense of that person and what we made up about them and me as a separate person and my moods and whether I blame myself or I blame them and all the emotions that come from it and the memories. That's the whole world, isn't it? And we're bumping into that other person who has no clue what your mind is creating about them. They're just happily going about their business, making up their own world. And then your world changes completely, doesn't it? Someone pays you a compliment. Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a whole nother world gets created. Without steady receptive awareness, each of those is like a sense of me, a sense of me. And we miss the fact that this me was a completely different experience from that me. Anyway, so that's just a simple example of creating worlds. Ajahn Sumedho says a similar thing. I ran into both of these quotations last summer at the same time. I loved it. He was talking about samsara and nibbana, and he says, neither of them, samsara and nibbana, are not places to go. Saying the same thing. They're modes of perception. And this is what I love. So he says the samsara is when the perception comes through sakkaya ditti, through personality belief. I would say when it comes through what Dalai Lama always calls self-centered attitude. I don't mean self-centered attitude. I mean it literally, not so much in terms of you're selfish or something. But when there's a sense of me, it's really as if the perception is like, this me is the center of how we perceive, and everything else is being perceived through that center of me, literally self-centered. Does that make, explore it and see if that's true for you. So that leads to our whole idea about our personality, and this is samsara. The whole thing, the story I just gave, you know, that person's look makes me feel bad, and I feel bad because of my previous condition, and that's samsara. And he says nibbana is receptive awareness, his language, which I use all the time, completely surrendering. It's like this now with awareness. There's no need to reflect it back or to me. There's no meing involved. It's just what it is. It's really interesting. It's really different. And let me give you a little example that just occurred, I don't know, to a couple of months. It's very simple, of the difference. I recognize it because of steady awareness. But so as something was going, I was just being quiet at home and, you know, more or less aware. And it heard, I can't remember what even the content was, but some friend or some peer or something had, I heard they'd done something really good. I can't even remember what it was. Either they'd done something great as a teacher, they'd done something really compassionate in the world, something that I respected and admired, okay? And when it first hit, or there was a moment where it's like, wow, that's great. But then the personality view arose, the self-centered perception of, I can't remember the exact thought, but it was something, wow, I should have been able to do that, or I'm not good enough to be able to do that, or samsara, that comparing, that conceit, basically they're better than me, feeling badly about myself. And the whole experience was like, you know, shut down, negative, unpleasant emotions, not appreciating the person, just kind of, and it really is self-centered. It's like a sense of me shutting down, and we're all in our negative emotions, and we say, oh, that's not so good. But basically, when we're dumping on ourselves, it's completely about me, me, me. You know, it's the most self-centered thing going, how bad I am, the center of everything. So that was doing that, kept on being aware. You know, it was happening, but awareness was noticing. And this is what the point I want to just keep making it. Stuff, the personality view does its thing. The misperception of me and that person is doing its thing. Awareness, steady awareness, can receive that the same as anything else. It doesn't stop awareness. And this is where, with a steady awareness, it starts to see through the misperception. So awareness was noticing that. And it suddenly just, because it wasn't feeding, yeah, you are bad, it was just really noticing it, it suddenly switched. And there was this sense of real mudita for what that person was doing, real mudita. And it's as if the whole world opened up, you know? This sense of real mudita and joy and metta for the world, and really happiness at the good thing this person had done. And it wasn't about I'm so good or happy. It was just that sense of self-centeredness just in that moment opened up. It was a completely new moment. That's not something Carol's personality did and then she really was good and she knew anatta. But if you stay steady with the awareness, the truth reveals itself. All the worlds our mind and heart creates through misperception, none of them last very long. And if we stay steady with the awareness, you can't miss it. That's the thing. We beat our head against the wall trying to figure out anatta, trying to figure out how to get rid of all this self-centered activity. Just relax with full presence, trust, into steady moment-to-moment awareness. The way things really are reveals itself. If you're really there, the perception of anicca, you can't avoid it. But we've learned how to, that's the misperception. So that was just an example of the difference between, as Ajahn Sumedha would talk about it, samsara and nibbana as modes of perception. same essential experience, the hearing the information, this person did that thing. So with steady receptive awareness, it starts to, sometimes when we talk about how something's difficult and when the awareness is really steady, we're not so glomming into it with our attention, when the Velcro's gone a little bit, it isn't so difficult. It isn't so painful, but it's still happening. And what's going, the difference is there's not that obsession with me going on at that moment. So part of how wisdom manifests is, you could say it's like a disenchantment with the obsession with me. You know, because mostly when we have this personality view, when that's the central perception from which we're meeting life, even if we hate it, even if we think we hate ourselves, even whatever, it's like an obsession. And so the misperception, the Dalai Lama talks about it as inappropriate attention. In other words, with appropriate attention, receptive awareness, why do we think we're saying don't pick and choose which is worth paying attention to? Because the picking and choosing comes from our habits of mind. So we may pick and choose what we're doing wrong. And it feels like it is mindfulness, but it feels like this is really, I got to get in there and figure out why I get so angry. I've got to get in there and work on my mana. I've got to get in there and do that, you know, and how this is really common, I'd say, for many, if not most of us. And how sometimes some people were describing, I was going to say this later, but it's coming in now. People are describing, you know, there's steady awareness, but then how something comes up that is a strong sense of me, a strong sense of my personality view. And we're being aware, but it's something difficult, or I'm trying, or I see how the tendency of my mind is always to judge myself. The tendency of my mind is to think I'm doing it wrong, or the tendency is to strive, or whatever one of our tendencies is. Nothing is always there. And that's really me and struggling. There's awareness, but there's a kind of inappropriate attention in that particular aspect of what's arising is being highlighted and kind of pulled out, but nothing steady state. So a few people have said things on this retreat and they're doing that. And then all of a sudden, another mind state arises and that whole thing just vanishes. Or all of a sudden wisdom arose. Or all of a sudden there was metta. And they said, but I didn't do that. You see the difference? I'm doing this other bad stuff, but I didn't do the wholesome, you know? I didn't do any of it. Cause and effect, exactly the same lawful process. But when the mind isn't quite recognizing that this is going on, there's that film over perception of me, then we can't trust, oh, this is worth paying attention to. That's great, the metta came, but that's, you know, a fluke of nature. Maybe it'll happen again if I work back hard enough on myself, you know? And we get into the doing, because that's what we know. And you come and you talk to us and we go, oh, just rest back into receptive awareness. You're probably like sick to death of hearing that, you know? I gotta do something. I can't just sit here and watch my mind do this crazy stuff. You can. And you will, and you better, because this is where the wisdom can arise. The way things are, they're already like that. We're not creating anicca. We're not going from everything solid and steady state, and then suddenly we see it, everything starts moving and changing. That would be weird, wouldn't it? The Buddha said, he picks up a little dirt. He said, you see this little bit of dirt under my fingernail? He said, if there was even that amount of experience that did not change, this whole life of awakening would not be possible. And he goes on to say in that particular sutta, the perception of anicca the perception of anicca. I don't have it in front of me. Basically, it leads to full awakening. And that perception doesn't arise, the same as anatta, does not arise from trying or from thinking about it. Thinking about it is a way of like tuning the mind. Okay, maybe things change. But then we drop in and just be with. Let experience reveal itself. Let reality reveal itself. So the sense of me, the sense of the center, whether it's me or I or mine, in terms of this practice here, and this is really coming from my experience, because I just find it interesting, but we can just trust it enough to keep being aware. But don't try to block out when sense of self arises, but recognizing this Sakaya Ditti, this personality view, it's arising in a different formation every time. Just let it come. You know, this, what is it, the sense of identification with any particular experience? Sometimes I think, and I'm not referring to anybody here, but I think it's kind of, and maybe I'm wrong, I hope I'm wrong, that we often say, oh yeah, I'm identified with it. You know, it's kind of like a shorthand. And we know I'm identified with this experience of pain, or this experience of I'm not good enough, or the experience of wanting, whatever. Oh, I'm identified with it. We recognize when we say that, that it somehow feels stuck and we're suffering. But I sometimes think that that becomes another, oh, I'm identified with it, and awareness stops looking, stops being curious. But that's just the place. What's the experience in this moment I'm calling I'm identified with? And I mean the curiosity of awareness, not the curiosity of thinking about it. I mean, when I was sitting one time, a couple months retreat with Sadhu Pandita. And so, you know, each momentary experience, you see and note. So I started noticing the experience of self arising. Sometimes it was a feeling of, but you're just landing on the exact experience. So this sense of, it's basically the quality of grasping in the mind, that contraction. It might be around a thought. It might be around a sight, any of the six sense experiences, a sight, a smell, emotions, thoughts, sensation in the body, visual image in the mind, self, just, and this feeling of me identify. So I just started making a note of that whenever that arose, self. I tried to explain that to Upandita through a translator. It did not go well. I said, I'm noting, you know, sense of self with it. And so the translator, of course, completely cracked up. Ha ha ha, she thinks there's a self. Ha ha ha, she's noticing self. I'm sure it never got translated in the way that I was trying to explain it. But that doesn't matter, because it was enormously useful to me, because it's on a par with every other experience. Rather than being some big bugaboo I've got to get rid of or be afraid, oh no, sense of self is back. Yeah, hello. Hundreds of times a day, sense of self is born. Situation changes, it dies. It's born, it dies. I'm completely self-centered and in this conceit mana about my friend, and then it's completely gone and there's a completely different experience. And then something else is occurring. You see why the steadiness of awareness, without our having to analyze and try and make a personal meaning out of everything, just be really present in the flow. If it's a flow, sometimes it's like do, do, do. It isn't always like a flow. But present in the experience, you know, in but not of, as they say, just let it be. We're feeling it. It's not like distancing, which I, believe me, tried for a long time. Yes, I'm aware of that really unpleasant sense of anger. I'm aware of it. And I was. I could describe it, you know, how it felt in the body, but there's a sense of distance. Now I'm starting to realize awareness is, there's no distance. It's feeling it, but there's not that glue of making anything me in that moment of pure awareness. So I'm just trying to encourage you to explore when sense of self comes up, just noticing it rather than jumping away or making a story. And it may be we don't notice it right away. You notice it way down the road. You're in a whole story about how that person's angry at you and what you're going to do and how bad you are and how bad they are and everything that has happened between the two of you over the last 15 years. That could happen in 30 seconds, right? Or that could take you half the day. Doesn't matter. Awareness comes in and it's like the whole thing can dissolve. What was that? That was a whole world and now it's dissolved. We want it back or we don't want it back, but it's now. It's now, now. That's gone. So, what did I miss? Oh. So another angle you could get curious about, watching these worlds come together and dissolve. Another thing that I find interesting in watching how that's occurring moment to moment is, and coming back to some of aggregates as Andrea was talking about yesterday, but the Buddha spoke about, he was talking about consciousness as being like a magic show. But I like the whole sense of the sense of self and these worlds of self, how it's created in a moment, world of samsaraing, is like a magic show. Meaning, the Buddha described if you come to a crossroads and there's a magician putting on the show and you're going, wow, how did they do all of that? But if you look behind the curtain and see how it works, it's like all the magic goes out and you just see, oh yeah, cause and effect. That's what's happening. So one of the magic shows how we get so far so fast into a whole world, it starts with perception. And I'm going to keep using the same example just because it's easy, but it could be anything. The perception, that person's angry at me. That leads immediately to, so that's a distortion, a confusion, a misperception. It's inaccurate. Because there's delusion covering that you don't see, because you have no clue what that person really, whether they're angry at you or not. And it may also be that the perception is distorted by if there was fear or anger in your mind, you don't know. Without awareness of noticing what's in the mind at the moment, why it's so important to keep noticing the attitude in the mind. Without awareness of that, we just believe that perception. Then the next step is citta, we think about it. Why are they angry? You know, and thinking, so there's thinking, thoughts, you know, what we feel, we perceive, we think about. And just as quick as lightning, then that kind of strengthens, the thoughts can strengthen into a view. This is how it is. I mean, we don't recognize it, but we just believe it. This is how it is. This is what's happening now. And once it's at the point of view, and we don't recognize ditti, that's sakaya ditti. My personality is like this. And without the steady awareness recognizing that, it's as if awareness snaps shut, curiosity snaps shut, and then that view is information that's going in and distorting our future perceptions from that view without recognizing it. So just explore how that happens. It happens over and over. Then you can see the view. Like a lot of you have talked about, you're practicing and all of a sudden you recognize in the background, oh, I think it should always be really quiet when I'm meditating. And that was creating problems. Oh, that's a view. Or like I think I mentioned, I don't know if it's in the group, one time when I was walking at Shui Yu Min and I was quite present. Awareness was quite there, but I felt the problem. Then I kind of thought, what's going on? You know, what else is here? And then it popped up in the background was the thought, which was a view. It should be better than this. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. Whatever's happening, it should be better than this. I'm not saying the views are going to make sense. It's better when they don't, because then you can see, well, that's really a view. But seeing this, oh yeah, right, feels like this, attachment to that view. So we can watch this occurring over and over again. And this is what happens in our personality. We probably, most of us, have views or ideas about what our personality is like, right? Sakaya ditti, personality view. I heard Ajahn Sumedho say once, that was really interesting, he was talking to teachers. And he said, he thinks one of the problems of of people with like a Western intellectual education can be, in his experience, is in terms of really recognizing and trusting and having faith in the wisdom that's arising in their heart and mind and the wholesome qualities, is because people tend to have too much belief, too much trust, too much, what's the word he used? Anyway, too much belief in our own personalities. We give the power to the personality we really believe. My personality is really like this. Although if we have steady state awareness, we see it's changing all the time. My personality is really tends to aversion. I mean, aversion may arise a lot, but so does metta, so does love, so does wisdom, so does boredom, you know? But he says we give so much credence, we believe, and that's the ditti, in our personality so much that we don't recognize the other. Sort of like the example I gave before. Do you remember? Yeah, we identify with the intentions of the unwholesome intentions. And when the wholesome arises, as I said before, we go, oh, that's not me. And it can almost be dismissive because it's all about fixing my personality. That's the main thing at the core. They're both equal, just arising experience. Do you remember? I'm sure you don't. I read on the first night, if I can find it. I read from Anam Tupton. Oh, yeah. So I want to just read these two things towards the end. He said, in the way things are in the world right now, so much going on, that we can be, this I read before, we can be easily overwhelmed, easily pulled into a whirlpool of fear and worry and anger that is swirling around in the world and in our mind. And we lose touch with awareness, with metta, with karuna, with our innate dignity. And I'm saying this is a habit. The habit is, he goes on to say, we believe in fear and the causes of fear. We don't believe in the causes of fearlessness. And belief is this ditti. Belief is not reliable. Belief is different from clear seeing. You get a sense of that? So the habit is so easy, and substitute whatever the prevalent habits of your particular mind stream are, but there's never just one. It may not be fear and worry and anxiety. It may be greed or self-judgment or whatever, but it's like, it's such a habit and we believe it. So it's really easy, as someone keeps talking about rabbit hole, it's really easy for the attention to go there. And for awareness, you see it's going there, but not seeing that it's a, what you would say, a privileged perception, noticing that, but not equally noticing its other. So we said, we don't believe in the causes of fearlessness. We don't trust that. That's what Ajahn Sumedho was saying. Moments of wisdom, moments of metta, compassion, just resting in awareness and seeing things are coming and going. And there's just a couple of people said, in that moment, it's so clear and simple and obvious. And then it's gone. We knew that was true, but then it's gone. And later, we don't trust that because we trust our personality more. Maybe, hopefully you don't. But this has been a really helpful reflection to me to see why the cultivation, the willingness to be persistent with this receptive awareness is so key. As soon as we consciously start making choices, we can't trust that choice. Unless the mind is completely cleared. So this is why skillful means has as a motivation, what's going to support recognizing awareness. As soon as the motivation is, and what's going to support, you know, feeling a little bit better or making my concentration stronger or getting back to that state or all kinds of, you know, colorings, we can't trust it because of the subtle tendencies of wanting, identification, aversion, of views of how things should be. And that's like saying there's a little bit of dirt under the fingernail. Things should be like this, steady state. Impossible, you know, freezes everything. So those are just two ways I wanted to just put in the back of your mind to let the steady awareness explore. One, that sense of the magic show, perceiving something, thinking about it, a strong view of this is how it is, and then acting and reacting and going on from that, creating a whole world. Sometimes we can notice that in the middle, or as it's been going on for a while, as soon as it's noticed with awareness, not like, oh, bad, that's the personality again. Like, oh, it's like this. What's happening now? Oh, not liking, or I'm not good enough, or whatever. Just another arising experience. But awareness isn't not good enough. And that's the difference. That's the difference. So as I said to someone, I don't know, when really allowing this cause and effect processes to keep running and meeting it, being present with receptive awareness, a lot of the time, the processes, the habits of our mind, we call our personality, they're not pleasant. They're not onward leading, and we don't like them, you know? Or we do like them, but then we judge ourselves because we think that's ego. So it's not pleasant to hang out with this stuff. And we feel like, you know, the more we see it, we think the worse we're getting, you know? Because again, we're identifying with it. This is me. Awareness, the more that we just trust, take refuge in the awareness, and say a particular personality pattern's running itself out. Well, like that example I gave of myself, you know, good and they're better and yeah, you should. It was just doing its thing. Awareness was noticing, not I was noticing, awareness was noticing, but awareness wasn't feeding it and awareness wasn't that pattern. And the pattern ran out and wisdom and mudita arose. Both were just cause and effect. Both were natural. But the first one was just not seeing the coloring on the consciousness. But awareness not reacting to it doesn't feed it. And this is how the sense of the cellular sense understanding of anatta really strengthens through this steady awareness practice. Now, it's not an intellectual thing. I mean, intellectual thinking can recognize it later, but it's just every moment, how many moments of our life have we practiced being me, 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 and reacting and personality and believing that? A lot. As Ajahn Suchito says, you know, in terms of habits of our chitta, of our mind, they're so strong, you know, because we're so used to them and we've been practicing them our whole life. And we can't just decide, now I'm going to stop being identified with self-judgment. In fact, I'm going to stop having self-judgment arise in this mind altogether because I see it isn't true. You know, we all know that doesn't work. But then they're not going to change 10 years in the future either if we just hope. But the steady awareness, each moment, oh yeah, okay. Self-judging arising and feeling like this and passing, and awareness is the refuge. In that moment, that's anatta. Because the wisdom, the energy is with the clear seeing. It's not being the process. I don't know if that makes sense. It's not like you get big lights going off, but it's different. It's why it's so relieving in a moment of just simplicity of awareness without kalesa. It's so relieving because we're not in the me-centered misperception of the world. We're not samsara-ing in that moment. So notice the difference. That's all. That's all we're doing. I just wanted to drop in some hints about that. And I think that's enough for now. Take what's useful. Let go of anything that makes you think too much. Forget it. If all you do is just keep trusting steady awareness, that's all I care about. Just keep doing that. Reality reveals itself. So thank you all for hanging with and for your attention and your sincere practice. Let's just take a moment and then if there's questions.